Have you ever, I don't want to put this, have you ever felt like not doing something you knew you should do? That's like asking, is the Pope Catholic? By the way, I'm not mocking the Catholics. I could have said that's like saying water is wet, or is water wet, or is the sun hot, or is it cold in Antarctica, or is it hot at the equator? Of course, we've probably all been there where we knew we should do something, but we really didn't feel like it. By the way, when I still remember, I may have told you this, when I was a little boy and went to elementary school, I used to get the bus down the street from where I lived. I lived in the country. And I would usually go down to my friend's house, Donnie Landis, and stop in and see him, and then we'd go out to the bus together. And every single morning, I remember his mother saying, "Now, Donnie, don't forget to brush your teeth." And then, of course, he would do that. Now, you think he, as a little boy, he probably didn't feel like doing that, did he? You know, we have to get in some good habits, don't we? And we need to do right whether we feel like it or not. For instance, have you ever felt like not coming to church? Sure you have. Have you ever felt like not getting up in the morning to go to work? Have you ever felt like not getting out of bed in the morning? But yet you knew you had to be someplace at a certain time. I still remember when I worked for Groff Snack Foods, I used to listen to a talk radio in the morning. It was out of Philadelphia because my route was down near the Philadelphia area. And there was a guy by the name, I think his name was Dominic Quinn. And he used to always say, he had the early morning show. I think he started like 5 a.m. or something like that. And he used to always have this phrase, mind over mattress. I'll never forget that. What was he saying? Well, it means, hey, sometimes you may not feel like getting out of bed, but, you know, you got to have it in your mind. Hey, I've got to get up. I'm getting up. I'm saying all that to say this. How do we do right? We don't always feel like doing right, do we? And we need to get in good habits of reading our Bible every day. It needs to become something that we do. It needs to become a good habit, right? Just like I'm sure as an adult, at least I hope as an adult, you've gotten in a good habit of daily hygiene. You brush your teeth in the morning. Maybe you brush your teeth later in the day, and you brush your teeth before you go to bed. You know, sometimes you're tired and you don't even feel like doing that, but you need to do it, right? If you want to take care of your teeth. Well, our Christian life is a lot the same way. Now, we have to determine that whether we feel like it or not, we're going to do certain things because it's absolutely essential to our spiritual well-being. And that is, we need to pray. We need to make it a habit of prayer. Now, we ought always to pray and not to faint, the Bible says, so we ought to be instant in prayer at any time. But I really believe that we ought to have a daily habit of a daily time of prayer. Amen? We ought to have a daily habit of time where we get into our Bibles and read it and give thought to it and study it some and meditate upon what we've read. Same way, I know Pastor has used this illustration even like for visitation. You know, if you don't make a plan to do it, you're not going to do it. You know, this, I think it was the month of May, I don't know, we're in June now, but we had a goal of encouraging everybody to give out 5 gospel tracts a week. Hey, why do we do that? Because a lot of times we just don't feel like doing it sometimes. Now, I understand there's certain things that we're good at and we'll do it. And, you know, when, for instance, if Larry was going to go fishing tomorrow morning, he'd have no trouble getting out of bed, right, Larry? But when it's, or, you know, us men who like to hunt, it's no trouble to get out of bed on the first day of deer rifle season because we're all, you know, we could hardly sleep the night before and it's very easy. But it's not that way in some of the things that are more of a chore and something that just doesn't come maybe as fun, would you say, or as natural for us. So anyway, that's what I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about tonight, okay? We need to do right whether we feel like it or not. Got that? Okay, and we need to make some good habits in our lives. Now, I had you turn to Psalm 130, and before I read that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word, and I'm thankful for the power of the Scriptures. Thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit to take the word of God and apply it to our hearts and our lives. And Father, I just pray that you would use this message tonight in our lives to help us to do right. Father, we realize that in and of ourselves, we cannot do right. We need you. We need your help. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be saved. And so, Father, I just ask that you would, again, just bless this message, use it in our lives, and help us, Father, to do that which pleases you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 130, verse 1 says, out of the depths have I cried unto the Lord, unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Verse 3, if thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Does God mark iniquities? God has records of everything. You know, if the idea is this, listen, we all have sin in our lives. There's none good, no, not one, the Bible says. There's not one good person. In fact, in 1 John 1 and verse 10, it says, if we say that we have no sin, what do? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so we're all sinners. Job 10:14 says, if I sin, then thou markest me and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. So God most certainly does keep records. He knows. Now, I'm thankful that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, our sins are gone. They're covered. And in Romans it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Aren't you glad for that? The grace of God. By the way, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. We could all say that. You know, if it weren't for God, and it wasn't for God's grace, where would we be? You know, where would, you know, Lex be without the grace of God? Where would I be without the grace of God? You know, I honestly believe that if it weren't for God's grace and God getting a hold of my heart and my life, I may not be alive today. I honestly, if you knew me some years ago, you might agree with that. And so I'm very thankful for the grace of God. Look what he says in verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee. Praise the Lord for that. That thou mayest be feared. You know, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, that means to agree with God about our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, I know I used this verse before, but I'll use it again. In Psalm 66:18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I looked it up again. It has the idea to know that there's sin there, to see it, and not do anything about it. God wants us, when we have sin in our lives, to repent of that sin. By the way, repentance is for Christians too, is it not? We're to repent of our sins. Listen, we're all guilty. We've all sinned. And so we need to confess, we need to agree with God about our sins and ask God to help us to put those things behind us. So where grace did abound, where sin abounded, grace did more, much more abound. And then it says, of course, we would say to that, wow, then I can just do what I want? Mm-hmm. No, the Bible says, God forbid that we have that kind of an attitude. So we need to fight try to avoid sin. And I'm going to give you some things I hope to help you with that. To think about. Verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. I looked up the word hope, means earnestly desiring. I hope that you earnestly desire to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ means spending time with Him. If you're married, or even if you have a good friend, to have a good relationship, you have to spend time with each other. And listen, there's people who've built relationships just simply through correspondence, right? But what they're doing is they're talking to each other through corresponding letters or whatever it might be. And so us men, including mostly me, I'm not talking about all you men, but sometimes we're not very good with our relationship with our spouses because we're not good listeners. Women are generally are much better listeners. Some men are better listeners than others, but I'm not the greatest listener. And because my mind's always thinking about something else I ought to be doing or whatever, but you know, I need to take time to do that. And it's funny, when my wife and I were dating, I listened real well. Isn't that the way it is? But anyway, the point is, building relationships, we need to have a relationship, an intimate, personal, passionate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's only going to happen as we spend time with Him. And we need to do that every single day. And it says, that thou mayest be feared. Doesn't the goodness of God lead us to repentance? And verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. Verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquity. And I'm thankful this has a psalm of degree here, as somebody who is, for the nation of Israel and so forth, but it can be for us, and learn from this, that our sins are gone. We're forgiven, and I praise the Lord for that. I like what Paul says here in Romans 7, verse 24. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul realized how wretched he was. I realize how wretched I am. And I'm just very thankful that as I'm building a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's helping me. But I still struggle. And I can never let my guard down, because if I'm not careful, I can fall into sin just like anybody else can. And we hear of people, like even as Lex gave testimony of some young ladies who, while they were in a safe environment and in an environment where the Bible was being taught and preached, and they were taught to read their Bible and so forth, they were seemingly doing well. Often happens as young people go to camp. They're given the Bible, and they're being preached all week long. And they come home and they're all fired up, and sometimes it doesn't last very long. The reason is they're not in the Bible like they should be. They're not building that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ like they should. Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. By the way, the mind is a very interesting thing. Remember I said mind over mattress? And that's not a scriptural thing, but listen, even as Pastor preached this morning, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, now how are we going to have that mind? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, says that we're to renew our minds, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? How do we change our mind? Well, when we get our mind focused on this, on God's truth and on God's word, that will renew our mind. And the Holy Spirit will take the word of God and help us to understand God's word to renew our mind. So our minds have to be focused upon the word of God. Listen, the world tries to get you to think differently, don't they? They don't want you to think biblically or scripturally. God wants us to think like He thinks. And so to renew our minds, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do that. We need to be in the Word of God. And, you know, we can, that's what happens when we're here in a service and we listen to a message from the Word of God. And it's what it's supposed to be doing is renewing and changing our mind, making us be what we should be. Apart from Jesus Christ, you and I can't do the right thing because we all fall short of God's glory. True faith in Christ will cause us, though, to become a new creation. God, His Spirit, and His Word will give us a new heart for Him. We will have new desires and affections for Christ. His love for us and our love and appreciation for Him will help us to do what is right. And again, we need to spend time with Him in prayer and in His Word. Doing what is right is not, doing what is right, not what is easy or what you feel like doing. I'm sorry, do what is right, not what is easy or what you feel like doing. And again, that's what we need to do. We need to do right whether we feel like it or not. Knowing what is right doesn't mean much unless you do what is right. We can know what the Bible says. For instance, being humble, as Pastor's message was this morning, that's something we're going to have to really work at being. And, you know, Scripture can help us in this area if we will put it to memory. Again, we said this, and we repeat a lot of things often, but repetition is good anyway, that says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." And by the way, if you look up the word heart, many times it's translated or same idea as mind. The heart and the mind, it's kind of the seat of our emotions. It's us. And so we have to have our mind focus upon the Word of God. In fact, it says in James 4:17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. Now, just a couple points here. We need to do right even if it means we'll suffer for it. Sometimes we end up sinning and doing something that really displeases God. Now we have, and if we're found out about it, we have some choices. We can either lie about it and displease God, or we can own up to it and face the consequences. Because, by the way, with sin there is consequences, is there not? And in 1 Peter 2:19 it says, "This is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when we be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God." What's he saying there? You know, if we do wrong, if I go out and I use a silly illustration, an extreme illustration, but if I rob a bank, don't you think I ought to deserve some punishment for that? You know, if I do something that's certainly wrong, of course I'm going to suffer consequences. But what if we do right and suffer for it? Well, the Bible says, "For even hereunto ye are ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." Did Jesus ever do anything wrong? And yet he suffered for it, didn't he? He suffered for you and for me, and I'm glad that he did that. I'm glad that he so loved us that he would die on a cross for our sins. So, we need to do right, even if it means we're going to suffer. And we don't like suffering, do we? And I think as Americans, we're becoming very soft. We've got everything today, don't we? Air conditioning. I complain as soon as it gets a little hot and sticky. And yet, I don't know why I get so spoiled about it, because growing up, I didn't have air conditioning. In fact, we had heat in our house, but even in the wintertime when it was real cold, it was my understanding that the house we lived in was once a log home, and there wasn't very good I don't think there was any insulation in there, because in the wintertime when it was cold and windy, we had baseboard heat, but my bed was up against the wall, and I could just put my hand there. I could feel the air coming in there. It was cold. And in the summertime, it was hot. And I slept upstairs on the second floor. And I wasn't suffering too bad because I had one of those big box fans that blew right over me. But I'd wake up in the morning stiff from that fan. But you know what? We really are becoming soft today, aren't we? And so we need to be willing to suffer for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says in Romans 7:14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Paul says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." I was thinking this morning, I had this in my notes, but I forget what was said, but we often hear this: the way up is what? Down. Okay? Paul said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. What did he mean by that? I remember when Brother Caldwell was here, Jason Caldwell, he preached a good message on being filled with the Holy Spirit that was very helpful to me, that message. But in order to be filled, you have to be empty. You see, you and I can't do it in and of our own. And Paul is even, you know, we look at Paul as a great Christian. And he was. You and I have to realize if we want to be strong, we have to be weak. That means we have to be empty of ourselves and let the Holy Spirit fill us. Listen, you and I are nothing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, we all differ, don't we? But who makes us to differ? God does. God makes us differ. Some of us are gifted in one area and others are gifted in another area and so forth. And so God just wants us to take what He's given us and use it for His honor and glory. And we have to realize we need to be empty of ourselves. I thought of this song, "Not to the strong is the battle, yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace." Listen, just let the Lord Jesus Christ use you and work in your life, and He will. Another thing I see here tonight, don't repay people for their evil. You and I always want to retaliate, don't we? Isn't that kind of the natural human tendency when somebody does us wrong? We think to ourselves, okay, if that's the way they're going to be, I'll get even with them. You never thought that, have you? I bet you have, especially when you've been behind a wheel. Why is it when we're behind a wheel we get so in the flesh? I feel sorry for these guys that are truck drivers. I tell you, have you ever seen how they treat truck drivers? You got to have a lot of patience to be a truck driver, don't you guys? A lot of patience. In fact, I remember when I was driving a snack food truck, not a real big truck, but you know, you can't follow real close to the next. Those bottlenecks are horrible. You know, and they have one on 222 now. And you can be in the right-hand lane and the left-hand lane to close, coming up to be closed. And don't you know, somebody thinks that, well, they're just going to go up and they're going to cut in front of everybody else. You know, I really think that's what slows everything down. If everybody would just slow down and stay in one lane and go through it, it would probably go a lot faster. But what slows everything down is the people that want to get and cut in front. Well, when I was driving a snack food truck, sometimes on a snowy morning, and I would get down to Route 30, and I'd get to one of those bottlenecks, and that's what would happen. These cars, they know trucks can't follow real close, so they keep going up and butt in the front of the trucks, and the trucks aren't hardly getting anywhere. I like what some truck drivers would do. They would clog up the whole thing. So they were smart. But I know it was frustrating to me because I couldn't follow real close, and people would do that to me, and it just like seemed like I'd never get through that. But we get so in the flesh when we're behind a wheel, don't we? And somebody cuts us off or does something dumb when they're behind a wheel, we get all upset and crazy about it. But yet, don't we do something stupid once in a while? We do, don't we? And so don't repay people for their evil. Recompense, Romans 12:17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now listen to what he says. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Boy, if we'd learn that. I think we'd overcome a lot more evil if you and I would just overcome it with good. But instead, we always want to avenge ourselves. We want to get even. And we shouldn't do that. And so don't repay people for evil. Let it in the Lord's hands. Just two more quick things here tonight and I'm done. Live for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. That means driving behind a wheel. That means at work. When you're playing a basketball game, whatever it might be, do it all to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And I had this before Pastor preached this morning, but I'll just reemphasize it. My last point was put others before yourself. And again, that's not easy to do, and it's a verse I've memorized that Pastor was teaching on this morning. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Do right, even when you don't feel like it. Listen, you and I can't do right apart from God, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from God's Word, or apart from the Holy Spirit. I've been emphasizing this because God has worked in my heart in such a way that I realize that whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to be in the Bible every day, I'm going to pray every day, and I'm going to do what I need to do because it's right to do. And I need God's help to do that. And just like I have learned, by the way, I didn't take very good care of my teeth when I was a child. My parents weren't like my neighbor's parents, my friend's parents. My mom and dad didn't say, Terry, brush your teeth. They just didn't care. And so I had to learn it when I got older. But listen, there are times I'm tired, but I can guarantee you I do not go to bed without ever brushing my teeth. Because I know how bad it is for them, and also, and as an adult, I know how expensive it is to get them fixed. Amen. And so I may not feel like it, but I'm going to do it. And there may be days I don't feel like reading the Bible, but I'm going to do it. Because I've made it a practice. I've made it part of my life. I've made prayer a part of my life. And I'll be honest with you, there's been a few times where I haven't felt like coming to church. Now, what if the Pastor Terry didn't show up for church? What would you think? Is he sick? No, he's home. He just didn't feel like coming tonight. You know what? Let me just help you with this. Do right whether you feel like it or not. There are some essential things in your life. Read your Bible every single day. Take time to pray every day. Be in church as much as you can. You're going to learn something while you're here. Now, I realize there may be some times where you're away on vacation or something may come up where you can't be here, but if you don't have a good excuse not to be here, don't just say, well, I don't feel like coming to church. Do it whether you feel like it or not. It's important. Amen? And same way with reading your Bible and prayer. Listen, you've heard these little sayings already. One, 7 days without prayer makes one what? Weak. Is that true? Certainly is. You need prayer. You need God's help. When we don't pray, what are we saying? We're basically saying, God, I don't need your help. And when we don't read our Bible, we're saying, God, I don't need any instruction from you. I don't need any reminders. I already got it all down. No, you don't. We've got to be in our Bibles. And by the way, I'm learning this. The more I'm in my Bible, it's just amazing how God is opening up things and pastor will preach something. It's like, oh, wow, I just read something about that this week. And just a flood of things just coming in and just really, really helping me. And it will do the same for you. So may I encourage you? Do right even when you don't feel like doing right. Ask God for His help. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your help tonight. And Father, I pray that this practical message will just be helpful to each and every one of us. Father, there's just some things we need to make a habit of doing. And Father, you will reward us for it. Father, we need you. We need your help. And Father, without you, we can't do what's right. We're going to fail. But I'm thankful, Father, that you give us grace. And Father, you said even in Hebrews that we're to come to the throne of grace that we might find help and grace in a time of need. And when don't we need you? We need you every minute of every day. Well, thank you and praise you, Father, how you use this message. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.